WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump hosting Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House is coming a day after Trump's phone call with Russia's leader.
I had a very good talk yesterday with President Putin. I think he wants to get it done.
Zelensky looking for long-range Tomahawk missiles from the U.S., but by the end of today's meeting, no statement on a possible deal. George Santos is a free man. The disgraced former congressman representing parts of New York had his sentence commuted by President Trump today. Trump saying, quote, "At least Santos had the courage, conviction, and intelligence to always vote Republican." The UK's Prince Andrew relinquishing all of his royal titles, including Duke of York, over allegations linking him to convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. A source telling us at least two survivors from a deadly U.S. military strike in the Caribbean are now in custody on board an American vessel after being rescued by helicopter. President Trump confirmed the strike, saying the military hit a, quote, drug-carrying submarine. This is ABC News. At the end of a meeting involving the world's largest maritime nations, the U.S. blocked a global fee on shipping emissions. The group also didn't adopt any new regulations. Psychologists say 98% of people in the Western Hemisphere deal with earworms when a song gets stuck in your head.
They can be triggered by stress, by memories, even by injury, says psychologist Patrick Porter.
I had a concussion in high school, and there was a song, Rapper's Delight.
I said a hip hop.
Even though I hated it, my brain encoded it.
His advice for breaking the encoding of a song?
Visualize a stop sign when it plays. Stop giving it energy, stop giving it life, and then play something different.
The beat.
For some, listening to the entire bothersome song can kill the earworm. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Amazon is launching a new promotion called Fuel Up Fridays. Now through December 26, Prime members can get 25 cents off on fuel purchases on Fridays. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Mad City. Biking through blizzards since forever. 92.7 WMDX.
It's the Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers for Game 4 of the National League Championship Series tonight. We'll have a recap for you after the game. College football, the Badgers host number one ranked Ohio State tomorrow at 2:30. NFL, the Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. I asked Matt LaFleur, how demanding is it every week for quarterback Jordan Love to mentally prepare for a game?
Yeah, it's always, there's going to be homework. I think that's what the great ones do, and I think that's what our quarterback does. And every guy's a little bit different in how they're able to retain whatever it is that you're telling them. And I think Jordan's got unbelievable recall, and the longer we've been together, the easier he gets it. So now we got a great test this week. I think, like we mentioned, this defense, they do a lot of things that are going to test you in regards to showing you one thing, playing another, and having complimentary looks.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. On Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, some showers and storms around with a mostly cloudy sky and a low in the upper 50s. We'll look for a return to some sunshine for tomorrow, high temperatures in the mid-70s. Shower and storm chances return Saturday night to early Sunday. It's 71 right now.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
92.7 WMDX, like a podcast, but lazier.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awaken. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I have a great show happening today, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Wendy Pilot joins me, and we're going to talk a little bit about the No Kings protest, and then, of course, her Sacred Animals section portion of the show. And then also, we have our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler, on for a couple segments. Mm-hmm. And it's always great to hear from her, and she just came back from Washington, and some big updates from her trip, and how it felt to be, I guess, Native American out in a tank-filled Washington D.C. streets.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, but okay.
Hey, well, you know, Wendy, we just stopped at a local arts supply store
called Wet Paint on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We go there for all my art needs. And we got some poster board. The funny thing was, we walked in and we just asked for poster board. And they're, okay, over there. And there were people online for poster board. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's great. You know, there's people preparing and going to, you know, preparing their signs for No Kings protests. They're happening all over the United States. If you bring up the map on, I think they call it No Kings protestday.org.
Yeah.
Something like that. You could just bring it up and you'll find a protest in your area, probably in walking distance from your house. There's so many, really.
Right. And I like how the Republicans have described these protests as anti-American, and that idiot House Speaker Mike Johnson called it a hate America rally.
Wow. We all know who we hate. We don't hate America. We love America, and that's why we're protesting.
Well, the Minnesota rally, or the Minneapolis rally, which we're going to go to, will take place from 1 to 4 at the Commons near U.S. Bank Stadium. That's a change from the last No Kings protest on June 14th, which took place at the state capitol. Saturday's event will be the third No Kings protest since Donald Trump took office. So the more the merrier. And this is, I had an email sent back to me, and I don't know if it was just propaganda email. I don't know if that's even the right word, but that over, you know, you want to, they want you to kind of sign up for
a protest.
And they give you information, blah, blah, blah. But they said that over 150,000 people in the Twin Cities have already signed up.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So that could be twice as many as that were at the Capitol when we were there on that dreaded day of the assassination that happened too.
Yes. Melissa Hortman and her husband and dog. Yeah, it was terrible. So they're saying that if a certain amount of the population, I think they're saying 3.5% of the population, if they get out there and protest and show that they're against this fascist administration, that's all we need to like take over and not let this happen. So.
Well, and two, we have our own jam here as Native Roots Radio, and then also with our Sacred Animal portion. But, you know, the cuts to healthcare access, the cuts to our environmental protections, it's going to affect everybody in the boundary waters and the watershed. I mean, it's just on and on and on. So we're going to probably see a lot of allies that we probably wouldn't normally see because the boundary waters, you know, up north is pretty red. And I don't know how mega filled it is, especially with all these things that are going to be doing to our waters up there with drill baby drill.
Yeah.
President.
I, you know what? I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of people up north, you know, look at it as today we have a job and we have money. And we're getting a paycheck, but they don't think about like their children's future, their children's children's future and the future generations. They're just like the here and now. This is what's going to, you know, put food on my table, which is important. Like, I need food on my table. I need this and that. Mm-hmm. But they're not looking at the bigger picture about the future and what all this drilling and, you know, it's going to, I mean, we have pristine, beautiful water and land up north, mm-hmm. and it's just going to get decimated.
So. And we know what happened with Line 3. There was all these leaks up there, and of course, there's things that aren't growing now right by the watershed where the Mississippi starts up by Itasca, which you could drink the water up there until Line 3 came in a couple of years ago. Hey, besides Invisible Twin Cities, the main planning organizers are Minnesota 50-51 Minnesota or Women's March Minnesota, which again, when the first time around with this orange one was a massive protest at the Capitol done by the Women's March, and Minnesota AFL-CIO, which to me, getting the unions involved is huge, and the unions have to come back to the Democratic Party because all the BS that's been propaganda to them over the years, they are not your friends. And And so what we're going to do a couple signs. What sign do you think Bobby P should be holding?
Well, there's a very popular crown. You know, it's a crown with the red.
You did that. Slash through it.
Yeah, there's so many. You know what I'm going to put on my sign?
What?
I'm so impressed with the people in Portland, Oregon, who just got all these like blow up costumes, and the the most popular one is the frog. So there's a picture of the frog in front of all these ice agents, and it's just goes to show you how hilarious this whole. It's not really hilarious at all, but it's not. It is totally peaceful protesting and wearing the costumes, putting music on, having a light heart, and just protesting just goes to show that it's nonviolent. You know, the Republicans want to say that these are paid protesters out there and they're, you know, they're dangerous and they're causing havoc and they're throwing rocks through windows and they're, you know, on the streets and they're vandalizing cars and they're doing, no, they're people in costumes dancing to music. Yeah. So that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do.
Yeah. And
we have to show them and not yell or curse or anything. Just be there, just your body, be there with a sign. That's all you have to do.
So Minnesota Republicans, one of the congress people, Tom Emmer, who I cannot stand, he ran for governor a while ago, and he's just right as they come. He said, for example, call them a Hate America rally. Well, pack your bags, Tom Emmer, because we're coming at you.
That's right.
And we're going to vote you out, and we're going to show strength by being there at there's other things going on too. I, you know, there, Owamni's having their big big celebration that they have over by the Mississippi River.
Yeah. And
I don't know if we're going to be able to try and make that.
I know. And we have to be at this protest.
Yeah,
like, I think like that's our number one thing. We have to be out there. Our bodies have to be there, and we have to show our sign.
Absolutely. Signs.
Signs.
What's my sign going
to
say?
Whatever your sign wants to
say. What was that one?
Oh, my that favorites? One sign. We saw a guy that had a sign, and the sign said, "Too many issues for one sign." That's what it said on the sign.
I think I might go with that.
That's really awesome. I really love that. I'm going to paint a frog. Yeah. I'm going to paint a frog. He's going to have a necklace on with a big Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go.
Medallion around his neck. That's going to be my sign. That wasn't my idea. I saw that on the internet, so I'm not that clever. But
oh yeah, you are.
I'll be able to paint it.
Hey, up next we got State Representative Heather Keeler of the great state of Minnesota, and then again later on the show, Wendy, you'll be coming back with a sacred animal portion.
Yeah, I have some good news and bad news, so stay tuned.
Whatever happened to the Fun Fact Friday?
Oh, okay. We'll try and keep it light, but I got some issues I have to bring up.
We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, celebrates that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. MVAT has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues and sharing helpful information about how and where to vote. By learning from each other and leaning on trusted relationships, MVAT helps Native communities feel confident in voting and making their choices heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and have a say in the future. MVAD has been helping Native communities across the state for 9 years, creating stronger, more engaged communities every election. Vote together, stand together. Explore a fact sheet that explains some of the elected offices on the ballot and why they matter to you, your family, and your community at MakeVotingATradition.org. That's MakeVotingATradition.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hicha, wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am with our friend, Minnesota State House Representative Heather Keeler, 4A. Welcome, Heather. You've been doing a lot of stuff here, and it'd be great to catch up on all the work you've been doing. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. It's good to be here. I do feel like, you know, you ever go out into the world and take trips and do things and then you like can't wait to come back and tell your family about it. I sort of feel like that's where I'm at. I was out in D.C. Actually 2 weeks ago. Representative Kozlowski and Representative Falconer and I were out in D.C. really doing a lot of work advocating to protect the boundary waters. I don't know if that's something we've talked a lot about here, but if we haven't, we absolutely should, because we know, you know, 70% of Minnesotans do not want mining in our boundary waters. And so we should take some time to chat about that. But DC was wild. Hmm. It was like we were out there during the shutdown. We were able to meet with our federal delegation, you know, their staff. We were meeting with other states like Arizona, New Mexico, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, you know, really trying to find what's going on in other states. with our federal delegation on how we can, one, protect water, protecting SNAP. You know, as we know, we're in a really detrimental time when it comes to SNAP, what the feds have been doing. So we really tried to highlight the benefit of SNAP. And then healthcare, obviously, for everybody. So it was a wild time to be in D.C. It was the first time I had been in D.C. in my legislative capacity. And Robert, I'll tell you, it was like, I still can't really put it into words, but it was really emotionally impactful for a couple of reasons. One, as Indigenous people, you know, when you go stand in those places, you know that decisions have been made generationally to dissolve us in those seats, in those rooms, and those old, there was like a really old photo or telephone booth. You know, that you know deals were made in, you know, without us in mind. And so there was just a lot of power there. We were there on September 30th, which was Orange Shirt Day. And we proudly, you know, I wore my shirt, I wore my ribbon skirt. And I think you saw a video of me literally saying, like, y'all, there's not people out here that are looking like us. And they're sure looking at me crazy. Like, it feels wild. But then also just the tanks that are just casually parked along the side of the road, like car, tank, car, tank. Like that's not normal. Full military, like military, like units with their big, like, I mean, it was just, it was, what are we doing? What is, what are we coming to? So yeah, so I went out there, I did that. I felt really called to do something bigger, you know, as I'm back. And I think, I'm not totally sure what that is, but I think it absolutely means all of us have to learn how to use our voice collectively to save the things that we really, really care about. And it's, you know, we're in a, in an alarm right now to the American people and to Minnesotans that you have to get involved right now somehow.
Well, I really feel like the Democrats are finally doing something nationally with this shutdown, and they're really putting people on blast. And almost like what the governor's doing in Minnesota is putting these gun-toting people on blast, too, for not coming back into session. What are your thoughts?
I mean, look, in Minnesota, we have done this. You know, there is this ability to use actions to make change. And we don't always have to just go through this, you know, the cycles and what we've always done. And so, you know, I like to remind people that this was the session that the Minnesota Democrats held out on the idea that, you know, what quorum was, because we didn't want, you know, the Republicans to make moves in Minnesota that were detrimental to our population and all the people that we are dedicated to serve. And so I like that Democrats are using, you know, power moves to make the statements. I do think that the Democratic Party, both in our state, other states in our region and nationally, you know, we're not great storytellers. We're not really great at getting our messaging out, because the truth is, you know, I sit at the Democratic table because I am a pure empath. And I really believe it's our job to love and care for our neighbors, you know, whether that's making sure that they have the needs that they have when they're hungry, when they're sick, when they need a place to sleep, when they're bringing the next generation into the world, or when they're passing on to the spirit world. I just believe it's our job to really love our neighbors and care for our community. And I think Democrats, we need to get better at saying that and really standing up for that. And so, yeah, I think we're finding our voice. And I think the thing is we can't be too afraid to have a voice for what is right. It is right to give healthcare to people in our community. It is right to feed and have food accessibility for everybody. It is right to allow you to love whoever you want to love freely. Like we're in a tough time, and it's bold and brave to lead with love. I really believe that.
I like that you bring that back up, because one, messaging, and then also bringing things up, like, you know, this Gaza Israel thing, Biden presented that and it was blocked. So, you know, we have Trump saying how great of a person he is because he's doing what Biden wanted to do. If you noticed, the people that were released, there were no women because the women had already been released during Biden. But do we remember that? Do we remember that the majority of Minnesotans were for the Democrats to slow things down there in the beginning and get proper quorum?
Yeah, I think the reality of leaders telling the truth is just so far in the past. And it's our job as the consumers of information to do our diligence to make sure we understand what we're hearing is truth or not. You know, I have to do that in my job. I don't just believe everything that everybody tells me. It is our job as consumers, as the American people, as Minnesotans, to do the work to understand. Don't just listen to one person and what they say. This has been in the works for a very, very long time. There were deals that were on the table. You know, we saw this in the Obama era, in the Biden era. You know, there are things that happen that the actual implementation date is years later. And, you know, we see that in the state legislature. When we do something in, you know, May, it maybe doesn't actually hit and affect our communities until a year later. Well, when you're in, you know, election cycles and they move, it's easy to blame things on people when they hit in their time of leadership. But it's actually like when deals were made or decisions were made often are months in advance in different administrations. And so, I mean, Trump's a liar. We know that. He's always a liar. Like, I don't know why we would believe anything that comes out of his mouth, especially when he talks about how great he is in himself. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about listening to what other people say. Media, I wanted to ask you about the fact that all the press pool, like, is joining forces and walked out. What is your take on that, as, you know, somebody who really believes in speaking the truth using a media outlet?
Well, I believe that we're being I'm disappointed in mainstream media, period. They're part of the problem here. And if you remember the first cycle of Trump being president, he didn't have to pay for any in the first year or first 6 months of his of running for president. He didn't even have to spend any money because the media was making money on all the stories about him, all the outlandish stories. And now, you know, the whole thing about both sides do it, that's bull. You know, and watching the media, how they soft pedal. I remember Standing Rock, and I talk about this story all the time. We had a big protest here in the Twin Cities. Young natives from Minneapolis and St. Paul met at the Lake Street Bridge, in the middle of the bridge. Well, when you looked at what the media did, the local media said there were hundreds of people, and I know there was thousands, and they only videotaped from the helicopter half the audience. So it's very subtle what the mainstream media has been doing to us, and helping, I believe, helping this whole, I guess I can say poop show on the air, but helping us, you know, with this fake news. They're right in there. They're complicit. They've normalized this.
I agree. I mean, I've always believed that journalism, good journalism, is the key for us to know the truth about the systems and how they're working. It's your job. It's the journalist's job. It's media's job to challenge what is happening and not really take sides. That's what, you know, that's what some of the top media journalists have always taken pride in. But yeah, so hopefully we're seeing that our voice collectively matters when we show up together. Mm-hmm. You know, like, using our voice is a tool that is in our toolbox that we can and should be using.
Well, it's amazing here. We got less than a minute left in the segment. It's amazing to get our real news from comedians in South Park now. And I'm from the era of Walter Cronkite, and everyone believing everything that he said, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that everybody's just trying to educate us in some way, shape, or form. And it's the point is that we have to receive that education. Education is a lifelong opportunity, and it is your job to educate yourself on the things that are happening around you.
Perfect. On that note, we're going to take a quick break.
92.7 WMDX, talk radio that actually talks to you.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump hosting Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House. This is coming a day after Trump's phone call with Russia's leader.
I had a very good talk yesterday with President Putin. I think he wants to get it done.
Zelensky looking for long-range Tomahawk missiles from the U.S., but by the end of today's meeting, no statement on a possible deal. George Santos is a free man. The disgraced former congressman representing parts of New York had his sentence commuted by President Trump today. Trump saying, quote, "At least Santos had the courage, conviction, and intelligence to always vote Republican." The UK's Prince Andrew relinquishing all of his royal titles, including Duke of York, over allegations linking him to convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. A source telling us at least two survivors from a deadly U.S. military strike in the Caribbean are now in custody on board an American vessel after being rescued by helicopter. President Trump confirmed the strike, saying the military hit a, quote, drug-carrying submarine. This is ABC News.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
It's the Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers for Game 4 of the National League Championship Series tonight. We'll have a recap for you after the game. College football, the Badgers host number one ranked Ohio State tomorrow at 2:30. NFL, the Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. I asked Matt LaFleur, how demanding is it every week for quarterback Jordan Love to mentally prepare for a game?
Yeah, it's always, there's going to be homework. I think that's what the great ones do, and I think that's what our quarterback does. And every guy's a little bit different in how they're able to retain whatever it is that you're telling them. And I think Jordan's got unbelievable recall. And the longer we've been together, the easier he gets it. So now we got a great test this week. I think, like we mentioned, this defense, they do a lot of things that are going to test you in regards to showing you one thing, playing another, and having complimentary looks.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, some showers and storms around with a mostly cloudy sky and a low in the upper 50s. We'll look for a return to some sunshine for tomorrow, high temperatures in the mid-70s. Shower and storm chances return Saturday night to early Sunday. It's 71 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Or please. Something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
And then they settle for lower tariffs, but still high tariffs, and everybody's going, oh, what a relief. No, it wasn't a relief. No. It was a distraction. It was a con.
We have Matt on the phone.
MAGA's a big cop-out. It's all smoke and mirrors because they know they can't compete with China. So instead of trying to invest and compete, we're just going to make most of the Americans poor and impoverished. We're going to go back to slavery.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi,
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here with State Representative Heather Keeler, 4A District here in Minnesota, and just a lot of good stuff. She's just returned back from D.C., and I don't know, I just want to ask you real quick about the feeling, you know, like at Standing Rock. We were at Standing Rock, and this is how the show started here, Native Roots Radio, is because of all the lack of information that came from Standing Rock, and I had, like, PTSD, you know, from helicopters. Oh. There was helicopters flying over all the time there. And I mean, how do you feel after leaving DC and seeing all these army trucks?
Not great. You know, if I can be really honest, I think I was supposed to be on the show, like, right when I got back. And right. I just, you know, I talk a lot about mental health on this show. We talk a lot about taking care of ourselves. And I think to be transparent, that means we have to be honest with ourselves when we're not okay. And, you know, I'll just practice some vulnerability here. Something about being in DC just rocked me to my core. And I know that it's like CPTSD, right? It's things from generations before I even knew that I could feel that so powerfully and so deeply there. And history repeats itself a lot. And so when I came back, I had a major anxiety attack the morning that I was supposed to get on the plane. Just because of the rumblings that were happening in DC about, you know, federal workers at the airports just walking off the jobs, mm-hmm. you know, the air traffic controllers just not showing up, you know, so there was just a lot of anxiety if I was even going to be able to make it home safe. And I know, you know, people are like, well, of course you'd make it home. But, you know, when you're in that moment and you're seeing all these things and, you know, the Capitol is very eerie because nobody's there doing their job. It really, I had one of my biggest anxiety panic attacks, just trying to get on the plane and getting home was really exhausting. And then kind of that aftermath of everything we had talked about hit. And, you know, the reality is there's just not a lot of natives in general, right, in the United States, but there's definitely not a lot of natives sitting at these tables making decisions about us and for us. Definitely not with us. So it felt like when I came home, there was just this huge weight on my heart that I don't know what to do with, because we're in massive turmoil. There is a lot of people who need to get into this fight in different ways. And just sitting a little bit with a heavy heart and a really emotionally rocked core right now coming back from DC. But I'm resting, I'm drinking water, I'm leaning into my community. It was Indigenous Peoples Day, which was amazing in my community. And so just really leaning into my medicine and the healing tools that I talk so much about.
You know, it's funny, too. I brought you up a couple times during the week of Indigenous Peoples Day about how you started your political career. I wonder if you wanted just to mention that again for people that have not heard the show or just listening for the first time.
Yeah. So Indigenous Peoples Day is kind of my political growing up story. I was an Indian education liaison, and I say this all the time. Politics was never something that I wanted to do. Like, I was so far from politics that it's wild that I'm even here. But as an Indian education liaison, we did surveys of our students every year just to see what they wanted. And for like 4 or 5 years in a row, our students at Moorhead were saying that they wanted a powwow on Native American Day. Because in South Dakota, you know, Minnesota is right next to South Dakota. South Dakota was the first in the nation to start celebrating Native American Day. So I grew up in a state that this was really common. We'd been asking our superintendent, can we do this? And he just kept saying no. And finally, I said, well, what would turn your no into a yes? And I tell this story everywhere because it's like, I want people to start asking that, is that it's not always just a no. There are steps to a yes. And he looked me in the face and said, well, it would have to be a city or state recognized holiday. And I, for anybody that knows me, if you give me the path that I need to make a change, I will work like crazy, diligently, forcefully, emotionally to get there. And so got myself on the Moorhead Human Rights Commission, which don't overlook city commissions, county commissions that are volunteer-based entities. And we got Indigenous Peoples Day passed in Moorhead in 2019. And at the time, DJ, my oldest son, was in middle school. And him and I learned side by side at the first time together how to advocate for change in our community. We'd never been in city council. And so DJ was a part of that. And then I went on to the state level and worked really, really hard to make it a state holiday, including that if a school is in attendance on Indigenous Peoples Day, they're required to do a minimum of an hour of conversation about who we are as Indigenous people, the history, the beauty, and our cultures along those lines. And so we were at the breakfast table chatting about it. And Robert, you'll love this, right? Our next generation is just so powerful. So my youngest, they were talking about how cool it was what Big Brother did and what I did at the state level. And Elliot said, and Mom, that means that me and you get to do it as a national holiday. And I'm like, okay, I guess, right? Like, we have the next generation, and, you know, the younger of my children see the path that me and his brother have been able to take to make changes. And so it's just, it's a really cool story for me and my family, because then me and Elliot went and danced at the powwow this week. And it was just so beautiful and full circle that even in the smallest movements in our community, it's our job to create the community that we want to live in. It's our job to commute the community that our kids are going to grow up in and feel seen. And so no matter what Trump tries to do with signing some paper, here in Minnesota, we made this a law. We made this a state-recognized holiday, and we celebrated it everywhere. It was so cool to see all of the communities doing really cool events all day.
And at the time, too, I like the rest of the story, too, Heather, is that at the time, we were doing Sunday night symposiums with everybody across Turtle Island, and your name was coming up, and people were whispering about you possibly running for state representative, and you had no intentions to at the very last minute.
Yeah, I was going to run for school board because I was like, you know, I was like upset with the school because they wouldn't let us do this. And I kind of got challenged. And I say all the time, had I really known what the life of a House representative would have been, I probably would have never ran. It's a huge sacrifice. I'm away from my kids. It's a lot of work that goes unnoticed. And so I think in a time that like a lot is not going well, and it's easy to complain about a lot of the things that are happening to us, really lean into people and just give compliments. You know, I think it's something that we're not great at. I've been really trying to just drop compliments to strangers because you just don't know what people are feeling. A lot of Minnesotans are feeling the impact of losing SNAP, of losing Medicaid, of childcare costs, of just cost of living in general. And so, you know, we can't change all of the hard in the world, Robert, but we can definitely be kind and lead with love. And that's, again, all of our responsibility. So before we like end our conversation today, I just want to encourage everybody to give a compliment, you know, tell somebody that the color that they're wearing looks great on them, or the work that they did last week was seen, or that all the students that, you know, that are going to school, going through midterms right now, like, we see you. That's really hard. What you're doing is really, really hard. But instead of just leaning into the negative and leaning into the hate, let's really lead with love and share some compliments and build up this community if we can.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, one of the things when I first sobered up, somebody told me a guy that had 17 years sobriety, which I thought was a million years at the time, told me to do something nice for somebody and don't be found out. And those were back in those days. You could plug a meter, you know, that was expired. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if you can't do what you said, try and do something nice for somebody and not be found out.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think just spreading kindness in the world is like something that's so easy to do, but feels so hard right now. Also, just encouraging people to check on your neighbors that maybe do have food insecurities. We in our own pantries tend to have a lot of food that maybe we don't need, and really thinking hardcore right now. Food insecurities going into cold season is going to be really hard on our communities. And so if we can do community meals too, or community food drives, clothing drives, anything along those lines, let's start to get creative on how we protect each other.
We got a last minute here. What's up next for you, Heather? I know that we have like a every other week schedule, and sometimes it gets messed up, and sometimes we were able to talk sooner. What's next on your agenda here this week?
Some sleep. I need to rest. I feel like I'm getting over some yucky, just cold stuff. And so college football, my oldest is playing football, so we got a month left of that. It's been a blast. So just going to be a mom for a couple weeks for sure.
That's important. And find out more about Heather. You have Heather for House Facebook and website. You want to, in other ways. And also, wait, before we go, I want you to talk about Two Feathers.
Yeah, so Two Feathers Consulting is my business. We had a really great couple weeks here doing education systems and trainings with higher education institutions, cities, counties, community engagement, and healthcare organizations. That website is twofeathersllc.com. Two is spelled out.
And obviously, people listening to this show, if you need a speaker or somebody to talk about and indigenize your business out there, Heather, you're able to go talk to these through people and groups through Two Feathers.
Yep. Yeah, I do keynote, educational, motivational speaking, and then I do consulting alongside businesses trying to grow their strategic plans or outreach with urban Indian tribal communities.
Which is a big deal. Hey, thank you so much, Representative Heather Keeler. I just have to always pat myself on the shoulder here, because I think after 9 years, I'm getting a little better at this radio thing. Did not call you state senator.
Yeah, you've been doing really good with that. I appreciate that.
Two in a row. Hey, State Representative Heather Keeler, Pinigigi, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, honors that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. By learning from each other and sharing knowledge through trusted relationships, MVAT helps build trust and make sure Native voices are heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and build the future you want. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners,
and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Yes, I'm glad they are. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're back here, and this is our sacred animal portion of the show. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio.
This portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our United States gray wolf and bear populations. Say no to the hunts.
No.
No.
Good bear.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do it for the whole Turtle Island, because is there wolves down in Mexico? And
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, the whole United States. So yeah. There's wolves and bears. So I'm mentioning our bears right now because there's
and Canada too. That's not the United States.
I know.
Turtle Island, say next time.
Yeah, maybe. Also Turtle Island.
But that's love good. That you're talking about the bears too, Wendy.
Yeah. But first, before we get started, do I need to introduce myself?
Yes, you do.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. In World Animal News, dated October 16th, 2025, I want to bring you some updates here from New York City. A groundbreaking piece of legislation is making waves in New York City, offering new hope for animals exploited in rodeos. Oh. Yeah, introduction of 1255, a bill introduced by New York City Council Member Bob Holden has garnered a supermajority of support with 34 co-sponsors in the City Council. This vital legislation would prohibit some of the most cruel and painful practices used in rodeos, including calf roping, electric prods, and flank straps, all tools that inflict fear, suffering, and serious injury on animals forced to do these performances.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, the next step in the legislation process is the hearing before the City Council Committee on Health. This will be a critical opportunity to amplify the voices of those who stand against animal cruelty and advocate for more compassionate, humane city. So way to go, New York City. Yeah. That would be awesome. The next thing I want to get done in New York City is to end those carriage rides through Central Park and in the city. We've talked about this a million times.
What groups are against that? Because there's got to be
all animal advocacy groups are against that.
But I mean, is there somebody out there?
There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of them. I mean, when we walk through the park, every time we walk through Central Park, there's a certain area on a corner where there's always protesters. Like always, from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been going on for my whole lifetime. Yeah. But who's the mayor right now in New York City? His name escapes my
African American.
So anyway, he's not going to be rerunning.
Right.
But before he gets out of office, this is the one thing he wants to get done. Yes, it's on his top. One of the top things on his agenda is to transition the carriage horses, right?
Yeah.
And get these guys in electric little carts that look just like it, but they're like horseless carriages. A lot of cities in the United States has adopted this, and it's a way to go.
Be fake horses or something.
I don't know. Get a hologram horse.
Do you remember? Right. Do you remember when we were out there and we both started giving him a hard time?
Oh, I know. I really do. I can't help myself. I really can't. I really can't help myself.
They knew we were coming at them.
Okay, the bear hunt. Black bear hunt in New Jersey is still happening. Listen, I tried to call Governor Murphy's office for the last 3 days. I cannot get through. And the bad thing is they don't even give you the opportunity to leave a message. All it says is, I'm sorry, we're busy with other constituents. Please call back at another time. But if you can try, let's try.
609-292-6000.
That's it. Easy number.
1-609-292-6000
and ask Governor Murphy to stop this cruel black bear hunt in New Jersey. It's just ridiculous.
These people are hiding. Our politicians hide. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come out and want your vote, but then they hide.
Exactly. It's like the Republicans right now want the Democrats. Let's reopen the government and then we'll talk. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
They'll do whatever they want.
Okay.
Fooled you.
Yeah. Fooled me once, fooled me twice. This is from the Wild Corner. This is a kind of a little bit of a scary story here. In late March, Just outside Grand Teton National Park, one of our guides made a grim discovery, the carcass of a young mountain lion lying beneath a tree. He quickly called the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, who collected the animal and sent it for a necropsy. The results revealed a surprising cause of death, avian influenza. That's the bird flu. So H5N1, the same virus responsible for outbreaks in wild and domestic birds. The 2 to 3 year old female mountain lion likely contracted the virus after eating an infected Canadian goose. This marks the fourth confirmed case of a mountain lion in Wyoming dying from bird flu. While human infections are extremely rare, the virus is deadly once contracted and poses a growing threat to wildlife and livestock alike. Wildlife officials warn that the risk increases during spring migration when more birds are on the move. To help slow the spread, experts recommend removing bird feeders during outbreaks and keeping pets away from wild birds. If you encounter a dead animal in the wild with no visible signs of injury, report it to your local wildlife agency. It could be the key to tracking and containing this dangerous virus.
Oh.
You know, this is really something. You know, I worked in the infectious disease clinic at the University of Minnesota for 14 years. And I remember one of our infectious disease doctors. She was on the Board of Health, the Minnesota Department of Health. I remember her talking about this bird flu, like way back when, like years ago, saying like, this is going to be a problem. And here we are, like it's becoming a problem. It's slowly surfacing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the current administration firing all these people to warn us about things that we need to know about, we might not find out until it's too late.
Yeah. And again, that reminds me too, prayers out to Alaska too, and our relatives up there. The warning systems have been taken down
from
the federal government.
Yep.
So that's
the weather,
which reminds me
that's
of that.
Right. Thank you for saying that, Robert. The had weather balloons that were up and were able to detect. They might have gotten a better warning. They might have had more time to, you know, escape it. Things could have been different, so it's really too much.
Well, I appreciate you bringing up that, and it's kind of what we always talk about here in Native Roots Radio is let's keep on bringing these things up, these issues up, and hopefully someday people will do something about it.
Yeah.
So keep bringing them up, and you know, mainstream media doesn't talk about this stuff, so I really appreciate you bringing it up. Hey, Wendy, can I just give the list of the Minnesota No Kings protesters.
Can I just tell a really funny story first?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so this is from the Think Nest. A wildlife photographer, Ethan Morales, was tracking a female mountain lion, Sierra, in California Hills when he spotted an unexpected visitor. A tiny orange house cat wandered near her territory, and what happens next stunned him. This female mountain lion took it in as a little cub and was licking it and taking care of it and nurturing it. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to end with a good note for the animal segment.
Definitely. Hey, I just want to give a shout out. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office and vote. Hey, Minneapolis from 1 to 4, St. Paul, noon to 2, St. Paul again at St. Kate's, Brooklyn Park, Burnsville, Chaska, Chakota, Forest Lake, and many more places. A No Kings rally tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
92.7 WMDX. Warning, may cause smarter dinner conversations.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect.
they'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. It's day 17 of the government shutdown. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries saying Democrats are not going to budge on protecting health care. And the soonest another vote to reopen the government could come as Monday. President Trump said he signed a commutation releasing scandal-plagued former Congressman George Santos from prison immediately. Among the people Santos' attorney Jeffrey Murray is thanking, President Trump, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and former Congressman Matt Gaetz. President Zelensky met with President Trump at the White House today, but a day after Russia's President Putin spoke with Trump, there was no statement on a deal to get Ukraine Tomahawk missiles.
I think that Russians are afraid about Tomahawks, really afraid, because it's a strong weapon.
Putin asking for another summit with Trump. A U.S. official says two people were killed, two others rescued during a U.S. strike on a submarine that was targeted yesterday in the Caribbean by the United States military. This is ABC News.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.